Cinema Classics is brought to you by the Gateway Film Center at the South Campus Gateway at 1550 North High Street. Further details online at gatewayfilmcenter.com.
Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to the shows online at wcbe.org. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Johnny DiLoretto, and this is Cinema Classics, and we are at the Gateway Film Center. And summer's done.
Yeah.
Pretty lackluster summer, John.
Yeah, but we had some winners.
Okay, what were they?
Well, with the,
you mean, by winners, you mean hits.
Yeah, we had hits.
Successes.
We had the Iron Man series.
The Iron Man.
Iron Man 3.
Right, right. Yeah, that was a big hit.
Right, and on the side of movies, then also, you had big 3-2-1. You had Brad Pitt coming through with World War Z.
Yeah.
Everybody thought that would be a big loser.
Right,
so.
And it almost was.
Yeah.
But he brought it back from the brink of disaster.
And on the Distaff side, Melissa McCarthy was a big winner.
In the Heat.
Yes.
With Sandra Bullock.
Sure.
Yes. Okay, so of all the movies that came out, I mean, really, that's not an exaggeration to say just about those three were the only successes, mainstream successes.
Yeah, but Fast and Furious was a big success.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah, yeah.
Vin Diesel.
It's awful.
But then you had losers like...
The guy shaves his armpits.
I walked
into the theater when that movie was on, and there's this scene of him laying in bed with some girl, and his arms are, you know, his arms are folded behind his head. And I'm looking at his armpits. This is a big masculine guy, and he shaves his chest and armpits. He's hairless.
It's got to be a
big... I got to tell you, it's this, you know, this iPod aesthetic.
That's a very big armpit.
It is a tremendous armpit.
But
then it took up 20 feet of the screen.
As we look at losers, the Lone Ranger is a big loser.
Yeah, the Lone Ranger is a big loser, and it did not deserve to lose as big as it did. It was a flawed movie for sure, but, you know, an interesting one. I mean, for a major tentpole action movie, it had some strange vibes that I thought were kind of original.
And for me, the big disappointment for me in a movie that I liked and deserved better was The Internship with Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
And I just loved those two, and I thought they were great, and it was very funny. It just didn't work.
And a big hit, we should say, that a lot of people squawked about, but nevertheless ran away with a lot of box office dollars, was Man of Steel, which successfully reintroduced the Superman franchise, which is exciting.
Yeah.
But that movie had problems, and people like to complain about it. But we're getting Batman and Superman team up in the next movie, so there's that to look forward to.
So let's look back a little bit on the winners, who would be the Oscar winners, and the films. Any film that didn't win the Oscar was a loser. So I think the biggest year for me, as I looked around, was 1972 with The Godfather.
Yeah.
Clearly, no movie could possibly have beaten it except for Citizen Kane.
Right.
That year. And take a look at what we had that year.
Mm-hmm.
Deliverance.
Yeah.
One of my favorites, Aguirre, The Wrath of God, Werner Herzog. But look at another year, 10 years earlier.
No, wait a second. We're not done with The Godfather.
Oh, all right, we're not.
You're right. The Godfather deservedly won Best Picture.
Yes.
Okay.
Now,
however,
I would have put Deliverance.
Yeah, you would. You would say Deliverance. John. Are you out of your mind?
In another year.
In another year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's true of a lot of 1970s movies. But okay, so Godfather wins deservedly Best Picture.
Got it.
Brando deservedly wins Best Actor.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now you got to consider that the Best Supporting Actor field is populated by Al Pacino, and that star-making performance is Michael Corleone, James Caan as Sonny Corleone, and Robert Duvall as Tom Hayden, the consigliere, right? Those three guys were all nominated for Best Supporting Actor. Do you know who they lost to?
No, tell me.
They lost to Joel Grey in
Cabaret.
He was the MC. Now, I don't know, that's a major snub for me. I don't know. I mean, clearly, Pacino should have gotten that award.
But Gray did a good performance. It was a, for him, a life achievement, and everybody remembers him. So there are a bunch of things in there.
Nobody remembers that.
Of course, they all remember.
Nobody
Joel
remembers
Gray
it.
Cabaret.
Nobody
yes,
remembers that. Nobody under the age of 60 remembers
right,
that. Everybody talks about Al Pacino.
Why don't we talk about something we can agree on? In 1962, the clear winner that year,
Lawrence of Arabia.
Yes, if Chris Hamill were here, he'd second that.
Yes, of course.
Was there anything that year that could have possibly competed with it?
1963, Oscar year. Lawrence of Arabia was up against The Longest Day.
Yeah, got a good
the
film.
The Music Man, Mutiny on the Bounty, and To Kill a Mockingbird. Obviously, the only one of those that I think you could make an argument for is Kill a Mockingbird.
And I think you're right. Now, if you go way, way ahead.
Now, wait, let's not go way, way ahead. I'm going to stop you right there. Because another movie that came out in 1962, which would have been...
Cape Fear.
Yeah, Cape Fear, which I love.
Yes, me
Robert
too.
Mitchum.
Yes.
And Gregory Peck. But another movie that came out is Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, boy, I forgot that.
And, wait, what year is that?
Wow.
Hold on, that's 19... Okay, so bear with me one second.
And I think in that year, one of my favorite Westerns came out.
What's that?
How the West Was Won.
You're getting me all confused with the years.
I know I am.
You keep jumping around.
I know.
Stop it. I got to make sure. 1961. What year was Dr. Strangelove?
Well, I don't know. You're telling me it was 1962. I'm accepting that.
I got to look this up. Wait, what year was My Fair Lady? That's... Oh, 64. Okay. So, 1965. Okay, that's what I wanted to clear up. So, let's go back to post-Lawrence of Arabia.
Okay.
We're not going to jump ahead. I'm going to interrupt you.
Got it.
Stay right there. We're not jumping ahead yet.
We won't.
Because I want to talk about the early 60s, because there was another huge snub in 1965. Dr. Strangelove lost to...
Tell me.
My Fair Lady. Okay. Dr. Strangelove, John.
Yeah, I know. It's brilliant, but don't you think it took years for Dr. Strangelove to kind of settle into the brain and be accepted?
No, I don't know why. I mean, it was nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah.
But it lost to My Fair Lady. Now, that's so silly. Now, here's the other thing about that, is that Kubrick never won the Best Director Oscar. We're talking about the man behind 2001,
I got it.
Lolita, Full Metal Jacket, Paths of Glory, Barry Lyndon, A Clockwork Orange. I mean, the guy never won.
They've snubbed Scorsese.
Never won. I'm going to throw this microphone at you.
Until they gave Scorsese that movie.
Right, I know. Then he gets it for The Departed, a half-assed movie.
You'd almost not want to win it.
I don't know. Hitchcock was nominated 5 times, never won.
Well,
those are the two most egregious examples in all of Oscar history.
What about Peter O'Toole?
What about him?
Nominated 8 times and never won.
He didn't win for my favorite year?
No, he didn't win for... Here we go. He didn't win either for Lion in Winter.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, Burton had 7 and no wins as well.
Is that right?
Yeah. So you can imagine these two great actors never winning. And then Kate Hepburn had a whole bunch, but she won a few times.
Of course, those two guys were so soused they didn't notice.
They didn't care anyway.
Now, let's talk about more recent snubs. One of the worst snubs in recent memory is 2010, the Best Picture field. Do you remember any of that?
Of course not.
Okay. Well, I'm going to remind you.
Yes.
Here's the field of nominees that year. Toy Story 3, The Fighter, The Dark Knight, The Social Network, Black Swan, and The King's Speech.
Ouch. That's a good year. King's Speech.
King's Speech was Best Picture.
Yeah. How about that year?
Ahead of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 movies that were all better than it.
You know, that's true. I mean, that's
The King's Speech is such a vanilla piece of
it's masterpiece
crap.
Theater, man. Of course it is.
Wan, pallid, pablum.
Maybe that's the answer.
Preconceived.
The others are so good, you can't decide
I
among them.
No,
so you just give it to some.
Now, that's the answer you should have said with the Pacino Duvall, James Caan conundrum. That I might accept.
Yeah.
But they were all three so good that they split the vote. And, Joel Grey ran away with it, but that's not the case. I think sometimes Oscar is just wrong-headed and stupid.
Look, this is the organization that nominated Laurence Olivier 10 times for acting and directing, gave it to him for Hamlet, and he might have been the best actor next to Brando in the 20th century.
Yeah.
I mean, at least he's close to being it. Nominated 10 times and winning once for Hamlet, granted,
Yeah, that is great.
Piece.
Well, look at Pacino, who we said was snubbed in 1972. Finally won the Best Actor Oscar for Scent of a Woman when he's wildly chewing scenery like, you know, a termite in a Woody Woodpecker cartoon.
So we could go on and on about the ones that could have and should have. And I'm mostly interested in the years where you get such good films as you just described.
Yeah.
And you get a film lesser given the award. Who knows?
Ultimately, you know, this conversation is just great fodder. Like, Oscar continues to irritate us, it only fuels the movie love conversation for many years to come.
And then we could end with the great blue-eyed guy, Paul Newman.
Paul Newman.
Nine times,
and only won once for The Color of Money. And you know what?
Got it.
That was spot on.